Well, the last in our mini-series, looking at some hymns and the background, the hymn writers who wrote those hymns, just think of the story that accompanies them. And so this morning, well, it's the turn of William Cowper, born 1731, beg your pardon, died 1800, a man who was a great poet. Well, we have his poetry and hymns, but had he not written a hymn, he'd have been a great poet, just standing alone in his generation, the finest English poet of that season. And, well, he came from quite an illustrious family. His father was chaplain to George II, and his elder brother became Lord Chancellor, and received there a peerage and had a fairly stately home to live in. But young William, well, he was a rather sensitive soul. And sadly, his mother died when he was very young. She was a very warm and affectionate woman, so dearly missed her. And he was sent off to school, boarding school. Oh, and it was miserable. And he was bullied. And he found it a desperately difficult time. So it was a lonely experience, and it rather sort of depressed him and brought him very low. I guess he may have been of fairly gentle, tender disposition anyway, but the experience of going to that school and having all the miseries inflicted on him and the horrors that children can inflict on each other, so it left him really quite bruised and battered. Well, he went into law, bright fellow, he went into law, but he didn't enjoy it. There's so many things there that made him feel very, very flat, very low in that. And then he had set his heart upon marrying somebody, and that didn't come off, and so that was a sad experience. He'd ended up in a kind of hospital to look after people who got mental troubles and distresses, and that's where he was for a while. But then he went to live with a family called the Unwins, and they're believing people, and they very much took him under their wing, looked after him and helped him when he had his low patches and kind of spurred him on. But anyway, he's a believer and he's trusting in the Lord. And the family that were looking after him, well, unfortunately, the Reverend Unwin had an accident out riding. Those are the things you had in those days, I guess, quite a lot. There, the equivalents of road accidents. Well, anyway, he had an accident and died from it. And so Mrs. Unwin took William Cowper with her, and they moved, it was 1767, over to Olney, where the minister, I think we began our series with him, was John Newton. And he was the preacher, pastor of the church there. And he and William Cowper quickly established quite a friendship together. And Cowper would write hymns and would have the poetry to go with what was the sermon that John Newton perhaps was preaching in the midweek. And he would compose the words for William Cowper, and so these hymns gradually came into circulation, began to get published. Well, now, we are told, and I just put we are told, these stories, but we'll go with this one, shall we? That actually Cowper was so depressed again, so low, that he was actually thinking of taking his own life. He was in such a state of mental turmoil and confusion. He really hit rock bottom. And he even thought that God was commanding him to take his own life. Extraordinary. And it went so far as this, that he hired a coach. The coachman came. And the plan was, he told the coachman this, of course, but he wanted to go to the River Ouse, which was nearby, with the intention of drowning himself in the river. Extraordinary. So the coachman came. Cowper clambered aboard in the state of mind that he was in, who can say, and off they went. But it was very foggy, and the coachman lost his way. Knows that now, remember? Lost his way, couldn't find the river, and so had to turn round, and we apparently understand that Cowper had fallen asleep in the meantime, so he wasn't even aware of all this going on. So the coachman must have thought, well, I can't find this river. Tell you what, we're going back home. And sorry, you know, couldn't find the place, there we are, that will cost you however much it costs you for the journey. So anyway, it never happened. Cowper never killed himself. What a providence that was, the fog. And when he got back, that depression had lifted, that sadness, that burden of soul had lifted. And from that, this is where we get to our hymn this morning, out of that, he wrote the hymn we're going to sing. Very well-known hymn. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And it's thought that this is greatest hymn about God's providence ever written. God's providence, his ordering of things, which defies explanation sometimes. These interventions where he might suddenly move us that way. I mean, why did that happen? I mean, it may not be clear at the time. It may become clear as we proceed. We may only become clear when we get to glory. But these happenings, events, were like the fog. Who could have predicted that it was going to be foggy on that very day and that the coachman would lose his way and have to take Cowper back, not having gone through with his, well, what was his plan to kill himself? That was a providence. Remarkable. God arranging things, or small things, bigger things, the weather, this, something or other happening, meeting somebody in the street, that leads to this, that leads then to that. And there's a mystery in it all, isn't it? God behind it all, his overruling hand. Because if the hymn tells us about God's providence being rather mysterious and beyond our explanation and understanding, but it also tells us about God's sovereignty, that it is his providence, that he's arranging things, and out of those things, he'll bring good. So out of that rock-bottom experience, there's a man who, trusting in the Lord, but wants now to kill himself, extraordinary, comes this hymn. A hymn that here we are, still singing it now, wrote it 1774, so it's a fair few years of singing it, and it's still this one of the most profoundest kind of descriptions of the mystery of God's purposes, and yet behind it all surpassing sovereignty of God, the end known from the beginning, and ourselves living in that greater context of God's plan, of God's purpose. Cowper, with his extraordinary poetic gift, was able to capture that, and, well, the tune that we sing it to, let me just say a little bit about that, called Dundee. So that's Scotland. Those of us geographically challenged, that sort of up that way there, up beyond the border by the River Tay. Getting too complex here. Let's move on quickly. Dundee, up there in Scotland. Except in Scotland, the tune is called French. Apparently, French. Now, why is that? Because it is thought that this tune actually originated in Geneva. Calvin. People like this, right, back in that period there, that they sung with this tune, and when some of our forebears, English Protestants who were in Geneva, who perhaps had to flee persecution, or were there just to learn and imbibe the good things that were being taught, when they came back to this country, or Scotland in that way, that they brought this tune with them. And so this tune, kind of attached to the words of Cowper's fine hymn, and here we are singing that tune that perhaps came from Geneva, and this hymn, its words that arose out of that, well, strange turn of mind that Sir Cowper found himself in. So that's number 85, which we'll sing now. God moves in a mysterious way, and the truth that is in that hymn, my, we believe that and hold to that. That will help us in our own providential dealings that God has with us.